Don't stop with your praise. Come on. Give him some more praise. Hallelujah. You're praising the one that ransomed you. You're praising the one that bled and died on a cross for you. You corruptible things, but he purchased you with his precious blood. He died for you and bled for you on a cross that you may have life in heaven everlasting. He is deserving of your praise this morning. He is worthy to be praised, and we ought to praise him. Like the psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord, where we can enter into worship and praise and adoration of our God and our Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. Hallelujah. My Lord and my God. Woo. Glory to God. Ha, ha, ha. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, worship team. My goodness, my goodness. What worship and what praise. In case you didn't know it, you are in a Pentecostal church. Woo! We believe in praise and worship and adoration to our God. Hallelujah. The manifestations of the Spirit are in operation. You heard the tongues and then the interpretation. It's all biblical. It didn't die with the apostles like some people would tell you. It's still active today in the hearts and lives of the believers that believe it and receive the word of God. We studied this morning about false prophets. Anybody comes telling you these things died with the apostles is false. It's the word of God. And we are to believe the word of God unto righteousness. It has become salvation to us. Praise God. Everybody calm down. Well, I haven't. Hallelujah. I will tell you this. I'm not the pastor, by the way. So he's away. He's on a business trip. He couldn't get out of it. He's working, so we need to pray for our pastor, and I'm not the pastor. My name is Fred Williams. For you visitors that have never met me, and you say, a crazy man. Yes, I am. I'm going to tell you what I always tell people. People call me and say, man, you are a nut. I said, yeah, but I'm screwed on the right bolt. I'm from down in Concord, Virginia. In case you didn't know where Concord is, I'll put it this way like a friend of mine. Munyear Midway. Between Lynchburg and Appomattox. My buddy said it at work one day, Munyear Midway. One guy looked at him and said, is that a movie you went to see or is it something you ate? You see, us country people, we have a different slang from you city folks. So, but we still get the point across. We still got some people among us that we're teaching how to speak country. Isn't that right, Esther? We even got her a placement that has country slangs on it, and we're trying to get her into shape. But you know one thing, we all love God, don't we? Anybody here don't love the Lord? Oh man, caught you off guard, didn't I? Caleb, today's your birthday, isn't it, buddy? Yes, indeed. That's my granddaughter's boyfriend. Today is his birthday. Y'all say happy birthday. Just say happy birthday to Caleb this morning. He didn't know I was going to do that. I like doing things like that. I like catching people off guard or just joking around with God. But I want to tell you on a serious note today, we need to give God some praise in this house today. Praise God. I want to tell you, I want to give a little testimony. Jake, can you just tweak me a little bit down? Yeah, thank you, sir. I was in a Methodist church one time. Methodists and Baptists, they all invite me to come and speak. I take advantage of it. But you notice, they didn't invite me back, though. Was in a Methodist church one time, and I was asked to say something, and this guy was doing the sound. He said, now, can you say something for me so I can get your voice? acclimated to our system. I said, sure. I said, what you want me to say? Oh, just say anything. So I off the wall, I come up with something, you know, and said it. So during the course of the wedding, it was my time to say my little ditty. So I get up to say it, and God blessed me with an amplified voice. And I don't care. I mean, that's me. That's the way I am. So when I started to say what I had to say, I could see him scrambling, trying to turn me down. He said, "You blew me out of the water." Well, I don't mean to do those things, but you know, that's the way we are. But you know something? Well, to give God praise, today I want to tell you something. How many of you remember us requesting prayer for my wife's niece out in Albuquerque, New Mexico? She had a double mastectomy. Is that right? See, we got medical people in here now. They will correct me if I don't say it right. And for most of you that are not medical, that means she had both breasts removed. They initially told her that the cancer had metastasized in her brain, her liver, and in her bones. Yeah. So we went to prayer. How many of you believe in prayer? How many of you believe this morning that God is still in the miracle working business? God never changes, does he? He said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I change not. That's what his word says. So that's why that I believe that what God did back then and what he did down through the ages under the old covenant and what he did under the new covenant and what he's doing today, I believe it. I believe those things. So we went to prayer, and in our home group, they anointed me. I stood in for her, and they anointed me, and they prayed, and my wife gets a text from her niece out in Albuquerque, New York. Aren't you glad that there's no distance for God to answer prayer, that we don't have to be standing right there, that God can answer prayer thousands of miles away. And she texted my wife, and what she said was, "I felt the love." What she meant to say was, "I felt the presence and the Spirit of God." She attributed it to love, which is love. And so she went and had her surgery, and looking for the worst of worst after the surgery. They did the lymph node thing, and they did all that they were supposed to do. And my wife got another text back 2 or 3 days later. Cancer free. Lymph nodes clean. No chemo, no radiation. And already getting more texts back. Getting stronger every day. Praise God. Praise and glory to our God. What a wonderful testimony of the things that God has done for us. So many. You know, we could just go on and on and on. And I know some of you are looking at me and say, "Well, you get to your sermon, I will in a minute." This is just a little added extra. You know, I'm not charging any extra for this. And you look at me, "Oh, you're getting paid for this?" Sure, I'm getting paid for this. You know what? The Bible says that you don't muzzle the ox that's plowing out the corn, do you? But how many of you know I don't take that pay? Yes, indeed. I'm just glad that God has chosen to use, and I'm going to say it, a country bumpkin like me. You know, if he can use a donkey, he can use a country bumpkin like me. That's what I am. You know something? I'm not politically correct. I'm not. I don't come to you this morning with persuasive words or eloquent words or those things. But I come to you with the anointing and with the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. That's the only way I know to do it. If it wasn't for that, I'd sit down. I wouldn't be up here this morning because I would be, "Oh, my goodness, looking at me." That's the way I'd be. But you know what? God got me out of that. When he saved me and he filled me with the Holy Spirit, he got me out of that. I used to be shy. Now, you guys know, I know some of you people say, yeah, right. But I did. I was shy. Man, I didn't. I remember one time when I was in the Marines, I was in Vietnam, and we had a chaplain that come around, and he wanted me to help take the offering up. Oh, man. It was just like he shot me. Oh, man, I didn't. Oh, boy, I was so, oh, man, I don't know what to do. I hope he don't call on me to pray. I'm not even a Christian. And this guy was a Pentecostal chaplain. But you know what? I got through it. But when God changed my life, I'm no longer the same. You see, I'm no longer the person I used to be. Harvey, your favorite song. You see, I shook off those heavy chains, and he wiped away all those stains. Ha! I'm redeemed. I'm no longer the person I used to be. I'm somebody that God has taken and cleansed and made whole. You see, you don't know what my life was before you knew me. But I know what my life was. I don't know what some of you lives are, but God knows what they were. And there's some things that I don't want you to know about my life. And I know there's things in your life that you don't want me to know. So we're not going to go into all of that. But we're going to thank God that he has redeemed us. And he has taken those sins, those ugly sins, and he's cast them far as the east is from the west. Never. He said, never. I don't even remember them anymore. Oh, what a mighty God. What a wonderful Savior. A merciful and loving God that we serve. My goodness. How could we not praise our Savior? How could we not lift our voices in songs and adoration unto him? Praise God. You know, people all over the world, people have lots of problems in their lives. And the enemy of our soul, you ever noticed how the enemy of our soul likes to dredge? You know, he likes to go fishing in the sea of forgetfulness. You know what I'm talking about? Can I see anybody's hand this morning? I can identify with that. You know, I thought about that this week. Don't worry, I'm going to get into the brief. I'm going to read you some scripture. But this kind of goes along with it. I was thinking this week, Lord, am I the only one that remembers all the wrongs that I did? Lord, am I the only one that the devil dredges that stuff up and throws it in my face? When I sit down to study and when I get ready to pray, Lord, I think of all these things, these detestable things, and these things that I did that enemy of my soul keeps bringing against me. Lord, is something wrong with me? Am I not right with you, God? How many of you know what it is to go on a field trip? I still go on. You say, well, our kids are gone, so we don't have to worry about it. Oh, I got news for you. Wait till the grandkids and the great grandkids come. You'll be back on the field trips. Oh, yes, you will. My mother said you never get free of them till you die. They'll always be there. And you know what? I love it. I love it. They take advantage of me. They don't think I know that they're taking advantage of me, but they take advantage of me. But I love it. You can look on Facebook on Wednesday night. I put a picture sometime. I got four that come with me now, and I got two more that's getting ready to come with me. So, and it's every Wednesday night deal. We have to go to McDonald's because they're hungry. They just ate over here, but they're hungry. And let me just tell you, I'm going to get back to my story. But anyway, Wednesday before last, one of them said, Granddaddy, are we having breakfast food? I said, we're having breakfast food. Granddaddy ate breakfast food for breakfast. I ate breakfast food for lunch. And if I eat breakfast food for dinner, I'd be done eat breakfast food all day. I said, now listen. I'll buy you a hamburger at McDonald's if you don't want to eat the breakfast food. Well, see, what I didn't know was that the other three were listening. So they didn't do anything that night. So this past Wednesday night, this is how they get over. They get in the car. Granddad, we didn't eat none of those chicken strips. We didn't want no chicken strips. All we had was creamed potatoes. Can we have a hamburger at McDonald's? I'm telling you, you got to watch what you're doing. And you know what, old granddaddy, and he just said, he just melts. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Tell them what you want. You know what our Heavenly Father is the same way with us? Do you know that? We can't get over on him. But you know what? When we go to him, and we go like little children. He said, unless you come to me like little children, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a little child. You see, those kids, man, they'll melt your heart. Oh, this video, it just ripped me. Little children do something to me. Now, grown people, No. I know when you're trying to get over on me. I know that. But little children, did you see the smiles and the laughter? Can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? The innocence of those little children. Can you imagine somebody as a child? You may be a Sunday school teacher. You may be a little children's leader or something in here today. And one day, when you step through the portholes of glory, somebody runs up to you and says, I remember you. You taught me in Sunday school. You don't think that don't touch the hearts of people? Sure it does. You see, one of the great-grandchildren come home, and she lives next door to me. No, it was not my great-grandchild. It was one of my grandchild. She's five. And she went home. And the next day, my son and his wife, which are not Christians, oh my God, you said your children are not Christians. You shouldn't say that in church. It's the truth. They're not. She's in the tub, and her mother is washing her. And she, all of a sudden, out of the blue, she said, Mom, did you know that when you're born that God puts breath in your body? All the week she's told everybody that she has met because somebody taught her that. You see, my son and his wife may not be saved, but that little girl has planted a seed because somebody planted a seed in her. So don't ever think that you're not effective or that you're not being effective for God. Well, getting back to the story the devil, he just throws this stuff at us. And I'm thinking, God, why am I the only one? And God sent me on this little field trip. I went to see my 94-year-old aunt. Hadn't seen her for a long time. And I went to see her. And we sat down and we talked. And she talks about the things of God and how much she loves God. And she told me, she said, I'm trying to make a long story short. Well, anyway, she says, she goes into this spiel. She gets to telling me how good God is to her. And then she tells me that, you know something? She said, I sent my son to the store the other day. She said, to get me some ham hocks. Now, anybody know what ham hocks are? See, I'm from the country. I know. Oh, they're good. Especially when you put them in greens and beans and stuff like that. That's why I carry this pumpkin around with me, eating them ham hocks. She said, my son, I sent him to the grocery store. And he come back with these little strips of stuff about that wide, little fat meat, she said, and had pepper coated all over it. He didn't have a clue what ham hocks were. He didn't have a clue because he wasn't taught. So I decided, well, all right, this visit's over. So what I do, being the good nephew that I am, I go to the store and buy her a pack of ham hocks. And God sends me back. You see, first time we don't grasp the whole thing that God's trying to show us, then we have to go back again. And we seek God and we find out what God's trying to speak to our hearts. When we sit down and we read the Word of God, it don't make sense. So we read it again and say, God, enlighten me. And back on the field trip I go, and in the process of me going there, she begins to tell me, and when, after all the hugs and the kisses of because of the ham hock, she begins to sit down. She said, you know one thing? She said, the devil, she said, just gets after me so bad. She said, today he has reminded me of every evil thing I've ever done. 94 years old, and the devil is still tempting. You think you're exempt? You got another thing coming. What a lesson that taught me. God showed me, no, you're not the only one. You remember Elijah, when Elijah said, God, am I the only one that's serving you? After the 400 prophets of Baal were killed. And he was feeling sorry for himself because of Jezebel was after him. He said, am I the only prophet? You see the despondency and the discouragement that was there. And God spoke to him and told him, he says, no, you're not. I've got 7,000 that's never bowed their knee to Baal. So sometimes when we think, are we the only one? Oh, no, we're not the only one. We're not the only one that's going through those things. We're not the only one that has those discouraging times, or we get to the point of well, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to give up. I want to just quit. So many times I've said that, but then there's always somebody that will come along. God will send somebody to you and encourage you with the Word of God. And it lifts you up. And now we get into our sermon. Turn with me to Psalms 40. David was in just one of these such distressful times in his life. He was going through, and you know what? I don't know what you're going through with today, but you know what? God knows what you're going through. Nothing. You ever noticed how nothing ever catches God by surprise? When you... I'm not going to romp down the steps like our pastor does. I'm 71. He's 40-something. And he don't have arthritis in both knees like I do. So I'm going to stay up here. I might trip. And there, boy, you would really get a laugh. Yes, indeed. I like them young guys when they preach. Man, they can zip up and down those. I've seen one jump from the floor up here. I'm not going to try that either. But I'll just stay right up here. Praise God. You know, I don't have that eloquent speech like some of these guys in here that preach, Ben, Pastor. Man, I'm telling you, them guys, boy, that look like a word just flows. I mean, boy, that education they got, they can dig deep into that word. But you know what? God gives me the word too. Hallelujah. He uses old country bumpkins just like he does the educated ones. That's what I like about him. He's no respecter of a person, is he? Praise God. We look at that first verse. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He was down. He was distressed. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. How many of you like to wait? Not me. Boy, if I go to the store to buy something, they ain't got it out the door, I'm gone. Don't even suggest that you can order it. I don't want to hear it. I went to Sears one time to get a cap for a weed eater, and they told me, they said, well, it'll take us 2 weeks for you to get it. We got to order it. I said, for a gas cap? Don't want to wait. Don't ever go in the military if you don't want to wait, because it's always hurry up and wait in the military. But he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He was down in distress. He was under some pressure. And it doesn't say what was going on in his life. But if we read through Psalms and we read back in through the Chronicles of the Kings and stuff, we see the things that took place in David's life. And we can see the stress, and we can see the depression that mounted in his life. And here we see the words that he's penning in Psalms. Because he'd been through those things, he was able to write about them and to give God glory and for people to learn from these things. Because the Word of God says that we need to wait on God. Don't get in no hurry. God has everything in control, and it's going to be done on His time level. You cannot rush it. If you do, you will make a mess of it. You will get yourself in trouble. And let me tell you something. You do not want to get in trouble with God. You see, that's what I tell people. If you get mad at me for something that I say today, oh, I'm sorry about your luck. You take it up with the Lord, because I'm going to say what He gives me to say. You know, people say, well, you know, the Lord, oh, the Holy Spirit. What is the whole job of the Holy Spirit? What's the job of the Holy Spirit? Anybody tell me? He's our helper. He comes along beside us and helps us, doesn't he? He's our remembrancer. He is our computer. You know what I'm talking about? When you put stuff in a computer, you can hit a button and it bring it right up. Well, that Holy Spirit, when you've studied the Word of God, when you've been learning what God's Word says, boy, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit comes right along and hits that right button and says, say this. Say that. That's the way we're led of the Spirit of God. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He even says in the 25th Psalm, in the 5th verse, he says, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Oh, God, I don't want to wait all day. We need to wait for God. Let Him work His work. Psalms 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Be of good courage. You've got a problem. You've taken it to God. Now wait for God to answer the problem for you. Wait for Him to answer your prayer. If you wait, He will answer your prayer. If you trust in Him, He will answer your prayer. Now, on the other hand, it might not be the answer you want. Then you will say, oh, God didn't answer my prayer. Oh, yeah, He answered your prayer. He didn't answer it the way you wanted it answered. He answered it the way that He knew was best for you. Oh, you're looking at one of the biggest crybabies you ever seen in your life. I can't get it. I want it. Got it. I wanted it. Oh, just rant and rave because I couldn't get something. Only to find out if I'd have got it, the trouble it would have caused. Whew. My dad used to tell me all the time, boy, you the hard-headedest boy I ever seen in my life. You have to learn the hard way. But you know what? I don't want to learn the hard way with Christ. I want to be obedient unto His voice. If He says, don't do this, don't do that. If He says, don't go there, don't go there. Whatever He tells you to do, be obedient unto Him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Don't worry about those people. Don't get your eyes on man. Don't get your eyes on the prosperity of the wicked. Like in Psalm 73, he said, I almost let my foot slip because he had gotten his eyes on the prosperity of the wicked. In their ways that they prospered, it seemed like they never got caught in anything, and all the things they did wrong, they got away with. But he says in that 17th verse of that 73rd Psalm, he said, until I entered the sanctuary of God, then I realized what their demise was and what mine was going to be. You see, those that prosper in the wickedness and never repent of it, their end is destruction. But when we put our trust and our faith in God, we have eternal life. We have a hope in Him. And one day we shall see Him. Whew. I love it. I love it. I love it, that song. And we shall behold Him. Face to face we shall see Him. Hallelujah. Our Lord and our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Whew, what a day that will be. Oh, my mother used to sing that song. That little 4-foot-something woman would get happy and jump. She could jump 5 feet. Oh, what made your mother jump? The Spirit of God. I'm telling you, if you ain't had a bath in the Holy Ghost, you're missing something, honey. When you see these people in these Pentecostal services, they get to praising God over these songs. Let me tell you something. Songs, let me tell you, people that wrote those old hymns back many years ago went through some things. We sang one in the church. We used to sing it. Love, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Think about your life when you hear those songs. Oh, praise God. Out of the miry clay He lifted me. Whew. I don't know about you, but I know where I was sinking. Man, I know what I was into. And I knew my life was going to be short if I didn't give it to Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that somebody invited me, because of everything that was going on in my life. I was in a turmoil, and somebody invited me to come to church one night. And oh, what a blessing it turned out to be, because I gave my life to Jesus Christ. He said, I waited patiently. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in His word, I do hope. We don't have a hope outside of God. In His word are full of words of hope and wisdom and uplifting tones that we need to hear. And we need to heed to those things. Our Lord's patience under suffering was an element of perfection in His work. Had He become impatient, as we often do, and lose heart, His atonement would have been ineffective. Aren't you glad He didn't get impatient in doing the cross that was set before Him? He endured it with patience. Aren't you glad He didn't get impatient and say, Father, I don't want to do this? And immediately He would have been taken out of all of that. But He looked ahead and saw you and I, that we one day we would need a Savior. We would need someone to champion our cause. We needed a hope. You see, the Word of God says, even when we were yet sinners, you stop and think about that. Even when we were steeped into sin, God saw that we needed saving. He knew that we needed a Savior. He pushed aside our sins, all our faults and our failures, and He became our Savior. And He lifted us out of the miry clay. Oh, praise God. He said, and He heard my cry. He turned around. He hears our cry. He turns and listens to us. Just like your child, when that child cries, every mother knows the cry of that child. It has a distinct sound. You can put a baby in the middle of a nursery, and one child can cry, and that mother can pick her child out of all of those children crying. That's the way our Heavenly Father is. Your Word of God says that He hears our cry. Oh, what a hope. What a promise we have. What a promise. He said, my ear is ever attentive to the voice of my children, and His eyes are ever watchful over us. You don't think God knows that depression that you're in today? You don't think God is touched by the feelings of your infirmities? Yes, He is. His word says so. He says, cast all your cares and your anxieties on me because I care for you. In other words, what is He saying here? He's saying all the little things in your life, He even cares about those. I had a lady told me one day, she had a head, she said, my head hurts so bad. I said, well, have you talked to the Lord? Oh, God doesn't want us to bother Him with those little things. I beg to differ with you. He wants you to come to Him for everything. Aren't you glad, your little children? You know, I remember when my children were little. It's been a long time ago, but I remember it. But you remember how the little children come? They may be whining and crying, and they can't tell you what's wrong with them. But, you know, you have that sympathy for them anyway, you know, until they get a little older and they can start telling you what's wrong. You still have that love and that sympathy. You don't just brush them off and say, get out of my sight. I don't want to hear that crying and whining. Now, sometimes it's all over what it's about, you know, but most of it you're going to do for them, you know. You're going to have that love and that compassion. Aren't you glad that you have a Heavenly Father today that loves and cares for you? Aren't you glad that we have a Heavenly Father that doesn't say, I don't want to hear it? No, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Praise God. My kids, I can talk about them. Yeah, that's not but one of them here, but y'all pray for me anyway. I got to spend all next week with her. But anyway, they'd go to bed at night. Daddy, will you pray for us? I said, yeah, I'm going to pray for you. Then they would, how many of you know what the phrase is, they pluck my nerve? You know what that means? Well, they plucked my last nerve, believe me. And I'd run them to bed. They'd lay back in the holler, Daddy, are you going to pray for us? I said, no, I ain't coming back and pray for you. You know, sometimes I think God, he looks at us, oh my goodness, will you ever learn? But you know what? God is so merciful in that. Then the old mercies kick in, and you get up, and you forget about all that what they've done, and you go back, and I prayed for them. And then they was able to go to sleep. Such a picture of a loving Heavenly Father that we have that puts up with us, even in our faults and our failures. Regardless of what we've done, you know, God is always there with open arms ready to receive us back to Him, ready to love on us and call us His children. Oh, how could we not praise such a loving Heavenly Father? How could we ignore Him? How could we say that, God, I don't have time for you? I don't have time to read or pray or seek your face. How could we say such a thing? How could you tell one of your children, get away from me, I don't have time for you, this or you? Oh, could you imagine the hurt? How could we let it come from our lips? Lord, I don't have time for you. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read. Oh, one that gave his life a ransom for you, that bled and died, suffered a cruel death, and you can say, I don't have time for you. Oh, we should take time. We should take time because he took time for us. Oh, he heard my cry. Our Savior endured the suffering prayerfully and as well as patiently. Then he said, he lifted me out of a horrible pit, out of the mire and the clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. I was reading two commentaries. One of the commentaries said he visited two of those pits that they were talking about. He named the countries that they were in, and he visited those. He said, a lot of pits, he said, don't have but one opening. They don't have windows or doors. They have one opening, and that's at the top. And you're let down into that pit by ropes, or sometimes just shoved off the edge right into them, into the muck and the mire. And can you imagine all the putrid things that are in that pit, because you're not the only one in there. And you can't get out unless somebody lifts you out. You see, the psalmist was seeing all this stuff. Even in his distressful times, he was thinking about the pit that he had been in. And we look at those things. What kind of pit did God drag you out of? What ditch and gully were you laying in and God brought you out of it? And you want to shove him aside? I have no time for you. Oh, no, no, no. You see, I know the pit that I was in. Psalm 68, verse 2 and verse 14 says, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. That should be our prayer. God, deliver me from this time of depression, this time of despondency and distress, God. Oh, Father, lift me out of that muck and that mire. One of the old songs that we sang in the church, one of the verses that were penned. He lifted me. From sinking sand, He lifted me. He lifted me out of the deep miry clay and set my feet upon a solid rock. Oh, I remember the day. I remember the night that I gave my life to Jesus when He reached down with those loving hands and He lifted me out of that horrible pit, that pit of sin and destruction that I was in and the way that I was going. Through mercy and love, He lifted me and He cleansed me and He washed me as white as snow. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, He said, I so make them white as snow. Oh, some people, they tickle me when they say, but I've never done anything to God. I've never said anything. You know, my dad had an aunt. She said, he would try to tell her that she needed salvation. She would always say, I've never done nothing wrong to anybody. I had an aunt like that. I'm just as good as everybody else. It has nothing to do with those things. You see, the Word of God said we were all sinners in need of a Savior. Regardless of your status. You know what? You may not have ever done anything in your life, but the very fact that you haven't accepted Jesus, you need Him. You need that cleansing. You're still in that pit, whether you realize it or not. You're in that pit, and you need to be brought out of the miry clay and have Him to set your feet. Jeremiah 38:6, so they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon where there was no water but mire, so Jeremiah sank in the mire. That's the same way we are. We're sinking in the mire. Deep in sin, we're sinking. And we need a Savior to deliver us. Then he goes on. And he said, he put a new song in my mouth, a praise to our God. Oh, I love that song, that first song we sung, praise to our God, hallelujah to our God. Oh, I don't know about you, but that just stirs me because I think about praising God for what He's done and how He lifted me out of that miry clay. And even in my times of trouble now, when I go through things that I know that I can call on God, and I know with the surety in my heart that He's going to pick me up again, He's going to deliver me from those things, and He's going to set my feet back upon that solid rock. How many of you know, how many of you went to a picnic? We had a good time. They had a lake out there. And I know Amy and Ben won't mind me saying this. How many of you know JoJo, Ben's son? JoJo comes up to me and he's standing there and he's wet from his knees down. I said, JoJo, what happened to you? I slipped in the water. I slipped in the mud and in the water. I said, well, go find your mama. So she got him cleaned up. But you know what? That's the way we are. We get right to the edge of those things. If we don't be careful, we'll slip right off of that rock where God has placed us. It's when we get our eyes on the prosperity and on the things of this world. When we think at times, and I'm going to say this and you can get upset, but sorry about your luck. But we get to the point sometimes, even in our Christian walks, where we want to get so close to the edge of the world, but hold on to God like this and reach over and grasp hold to the world so we can act like the world sometimes, and we're not supposed to be doing. If you're not careful, you're going to slip off the rock. And you're going to be right back in that sinking sand. We can't live for God and the enemy of our soul at the same time. You can't compromise one iota. Don't think that you can get by with it. The Word of God says, be sure your sins will find you out. You can dabble all you want to. And you can push the line. But sooner or later, the enemy of your soul will tip you right over if you don't be careful. The Word of God calls for holy living, righteous living. You see, until we have those things, and until we have been fully washed in the blood of the Lamb and let the world go, we can't lay claim to those things, these promises. We can't hold on to God and the world at the same time and say, God, get me out of this mess, but I don't want to turn the world loose, but I want you. It don't work. It doesn't work. Give you a good example of dabbling. How many know what the word means? I know what the Webster Dictionary says it is, but I'm going to give you the country version. Dabbling. Dabbling's kind of like mayonnaise. You ever heard the phrase mayonnaise being used country style? One man says to the other, mayonnaise, a lot of fish in that lake. Dabbling, country style. My wife goes to the store and buys this little thing of bread, little garlic toast. You know what I'm talking about? They're about that big. I ain't supposed to eat all this stuff. My doctor, he, you know, when I go in, the girls, they want to weigh you. I said, don't weigh me. All I'm going to get is get a scolding. Almost so easy, we got to weigh you. I'm sucking it up. That don't do any good. My wife buys this bread. You know the enemy of your soul knows your weaknesses. Oh, he knows them better than you do. And you don't think he won't use them against you? Oh, yes. He'll make it look so good. You know that little toast looks so good? I love garlic. I even read it raw. Oh, we was in a store one time, and I'd eat a bunch of it with onions and pickled eggs. And we were shopping, and my wife said, get down behind me and don't breathe. I got a little piece of that toast and I ate it, and it was good. So I went and sat down, and I might have been studying a little bit. The more I studied, the more that taste just burst in my mouth. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. If you lie, you fry. Oh, man. I've got to have a little bit more of this. That's dabbling. I went back and I got another one. Wife won't look and I went back. You see, that's the way we think we are sometimes with the Lord. Oh, I can do this and nobody knows it. God knows it. The first thing I know, I had eaten the whole pack. Was none left. I ate them all. And then wonder why that I have to wear larger size clothes. Why I have to go in the Fat Boy store and buy my clothes. You see, all of that's humorous, but you know what? When we apply it in a spiritual form, we're the same way. Oh, Lord, I can't understand. I can't understand why I'm going through this. Well, what you been doing? But there's times that we go through things for the Lord tests us and tries us to see if our faith and our confidence is in Him and in Him alone. You see, we need to put our trust and our confidence in Him. He says, and sing unto Him. He put a song in our heart. How many of you like to sing? You know, I'm trying to finish this quick. I know you're dying to get to the restaurant before the crowd gets there. So I'm trying to finish. So be patient with me. I love to sing. I can't sing a lick. My wife's even worse than I am. Oh, she'll tell you. She admits it. She'll say, I wish I could sing. I don't make no comment on it. If she's singing off key, I don't make no comment. I wouldn't do that to that woman for nothing. But I love to sing. Sometimes when we are joyful in our heart, we need to let it flow whether you can sing or not. Let me tell you something. It's a sweet sound to our Savior now, Lord. You don't think so? You take your little children and let them go to singing or giving you praise, all you and all over yourself. Yes, you do. You know what? Our Heavenly Father is the same way. He loves it when we give Him praise and glory. You stop and think about that. He put a new song in his heart. He said, He put a song in my heart and a praise upon my lips, the new song. I like what one of the commentaries said. And if I can find my note here. The new songs we should never, ever offer to God. And let us not present old, worn out praise, but put life and soul and heart into every song, since we have new mercies every day and we see new beauties in the work and the word of our Lord. We need to sing those songs from the heart, those songs of praise unto our God for what He's done for us. Oh, you ever noticed how you can be down? You can be down. Oh, man, I'm telling you, the worst of worst. And a song will come to your mind. And you begin to sing it. And you begin to sing it from your heart. And the first thing you know, something begins to well up within you. And the next thing you know, you're singing and you got your hands and tears are flowing down your eyes. And you're walking and praising God. How many of you know what I mean? I see some of you do. Oh, man, I know something. My wife brought that little OK Google. How many of you got anything like that in your house? It's OK Google, or what's the other thing? You can talk to it, and it talks back. Sometimes it'll talk when you ain't talking. You got to be careful about that thing. Sometimes I'll be in there watching TV, and that thing say, well, I didn't hear what you said. What did you say? Whoa, wait a minute here. I don't know if this thing is possessed. I might ought to go in there and unplug it. But on the other hand, you can tell it to sing a song. Man, I can remember some of the old songs. Oh, my goodness. And I say, okay, Google, play such and such a song. And all of a sudden, man, it tells you what it's going to play. And the songs and the words come out of that thing. And oh, man, how uplifting when I hear those songs. And I walk through the house. Nobody but me. Little dog's dead, so he ain't there no more. And I walk by myself through the house. And I can praise God and give God glory and praise. Oh, and feel the presence. Oh, feel the presence. How many of you know you can feel the presence of God? Yeah, we Pentecostals do. We know you can feel the presence of God. If you don't, you watch some of them sometime when the Spirit of God comes on them. Whew, man, I'm telling you, they get beside themselves. Yes, they do. But you know what? That warmth. That presence of the Holy Spirit coming down. Oh, I like the way he described it, like the oil running down Aaron's beard. That warm oil of the Holy Spirit just flowing from the top of your head all the way to your bottoms of your feet. And you begin to give God praise and glory and thanksgiving. So what if you get beside yourself a little bit? Nobody's there but you. And the Lord, and He doesn't care. He's not afraid one bit. He's not afraid. He said, and I sung to Him a new song of praise, and many shall see and fear God. You see, when people see us praise God, when they see us singing the songs of Zion, or when they see you and you giving tribute to God, or you're given a testimony of an answered prayer. The word, the people, it sparks something in them, whether they're a sinner or a saint. It does something up here. And these become radars, and they want to hear what you got to say. I remember one day I was at work, and before I got into management, I was a laborer. That's what they call you, a laborer, you know, when you work. But when you're in management, oh, you're in management now. You don't have to labor. But you know what? I was in this glove box, and I'm working. And I'm working, and this song come to me. Jesus says, how many of you know this song? Come ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean cave. 'Tis the song of victory. Jesus save, Jesus save. Oh man, I was singing it. But I had a quality control person that was standing beside me on a box, and she was having to watch everything that I did and sign off that I did it right to the T. And I began to sing this song, and the song, the words of those songs, the Holy Spirit began to deal with her. And I'm singing and paying attention to what I'm doing, and all of a sudden I just hear something. I thought, wow, I don't believe I heard. I think I heard something here. And I keep singing, and all of a sudden, and I'm thinking, wow, what's going on here? I can tell you what was going on. The Spirit of God was moving through a simple song. And I sung it some more, and the next, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! I'm an uncontrollable. And I turned and I said, Maxine, honey, what's the matter? Oh, that song you're singing. It's that song you're singing. You see, we never know. We never know whose life we're going to touch by our expressions of praise to our God. Whether we in public, or whether we on the job, or whether we at home. We never know who's listening and who's looking. You never know where God's going to put you, where somebody is deep in depression. You never know where somebody might be just contemplating suicide, and God has placed you there to be a light. Well, Christians don't get depressed. I beg to differ with you. Oh, yes, I do, because you're looking at one that was depressed. You see, I thought I could handle anything. Oh, man, big old 6'2", 270-pound man, a U.S. Marine. I could have been through some stuff. I can handle anything. Well, God knocked me right down off my high horse. The day my dad passed away in my arms, and I was alone. I've never felt so helpless and alone in all my life. He drew his last breath in my arms, and I thought I could handle it. Well, but a few days later, depression set in, and I couldn't handle it. A week or two later, still going strong. I couldn't handle it. My mother and my wife, we had made plans to go on a vacation. I said, we'll cancel it. My mother said, no, we're not going to cancel it. Your dad wouldn't have wanted it. I didn't want to go on vacation. That's how depressed I'd gotten. You see, I had gotten my eyes off of God. While we were there on vacation, I wasn't the best of the best. I wasn't happy, and I didn't want to be there. My wife asked me, are we going to church on Sunday? I said, yeah, we're going to church on Sunday. Sunday morning come around, I said, I'll be right back. I didn't want to see them. I didn't want them to see me weeping. I got in my car and I drove, and I come to a, and some of you are not going to remember these, but they used to have phone booths. You used to put money in them. Yeah. I pulled up to this phone booth and I looked through this director and I found the church, and I called, and somebody on the other end answered, and I couldn't talk for weeping. But you know what? God always has people to recognize. And he puts people there, and the person began to talk to me. They begin to ask me some of my problems, and I begin to try to tell them. And they said, look, where are you now? And I told them, I said, they say, you're about 25 miles from us. But right down the street from you is a Pentecostal church. There's Assembly of God church. It didn't make no difference whether they were Pentecostal or not. That had anything to do with it, but that's what it was. It was an Assembly of God church. I never knew that. It was called the Ark. If you ever been to Nag's Head, you know what I'm talking about. It's a place called the Ark. It looked like the front of a ship. He said, you go there. They'll minister to you. God knows what we have need of when we need it. He knows where to place us. So I went back and they said, are we going to church? I said, yeah, we're going to church. And I'm still ripped. We go in and we sit down and the worship service, all through the worship service, I just couldn't get into the worship. And then the pastor, came time for him to get up and preach. Would you like to guess what he preached on? Christians being depressed. By the time that service was over and after the prayer of the people, I was delivered. The songs had returned. The joy had returned. Don't ever think you can fight that battle alone. You can't. You cannot. It doesn't happen that way. You need to call on Jesus. Then he goes on, he says, blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to the wicked. Don't look at what somebody else is doing. Don't look at the sinner. Don't look at the proud and say, I can do it on my own. I can do it. Don't think for one minute that you can lean to your own resources and make it work. It doesn't work that way. We have to put our trust and our faith in God. He said, blessed. Blessed is the man. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, Lord of hosts. Psalms 84 says, blessed is a man who trusts in you. Blessed are those who trust in him and in his righteousness. The joyful sense David had in this mercy led him to note that with thankfulness, then many other favors he had received from God, all his wonders and miracles are the results of his thoughts towards us. These are the plans of the infinite wisdom, the intentions of eternal love. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts towards me cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I want you to stop, and I want you to think what God has done for you. I want you to think and stop sometimes. The prayers that God has answered. I just told you one this morning about a miracle that's happened. I want you to stop and think about the things that God has brought you through. Where you were, where you came from, where you are, and where you're going. You need to stop and think about that. We need to stop and go back and reminisce a little bit. You know, there's nothing wrong with reminiscing. We reminisce every time my family gets together. We just hee-haw and laugh and have a good time because we talk about our parents and we talk about the things that happened to us in life. And we just have, and my kids, they hee-haw and laugh when something happens to me. I don't understand that, but they do. You know, I'm laying in the hospital, done had a stroke, and I'm in intensive care, and they are laughing at me. Somebody comes in the room, oh, Daddy, show them how you can touch your nose. And I'm trying, me like a big dummy, going to do it anyway. And I've got my hand going all these ways and can't touch it. And they're just laughing. They reminisce over those things. But you know what? We're the same way, aren't we? When it comes to the things of God, we think about what God, where he brought me out of, that miry clay. Oh, he set my feet upon that solid rock. He's put a song in my heart and a praise upon my lips for him because I remember what he did for me. How that I was sinking deep in sin, and one day he reached down with loving hands, with tender hands, and saved me. Oh, praise God. Now, I like what the psalmist said. Even if I were, if I even tried to recount them to you, they would be like the sand. They are too numerous to tell. In John's gospel, I believe it's the 21st chapter of John, John says, the things that our Lord did while he was on this earth, he said, I would that the world can't contain them. There's no volume of books that could contain what he did. Whew, you know, we just get a little glimpse. We get a little glimpse. We don't see the whole picture, but we get a little. Oh, and what that little glimpse, oh man, how wondrous that little glimpse is. And sometimes we get to the point where we say, well, oh Lord, what am I going to do? Lord, I got this going on, that's going on. What am I going to do? Go back. Recount back where he brought you from and the prayers that he's answered down through the years. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I change not. If he answered prayer back in those days, he still answered prayer today. If he brought me out of those things then, he can surely bring me out of these things today. And rejoice and joy in the things of the Lord. Don't let your problems drag you down in the miry clay, but rejoice in the things of God. And the word of God said, and again I say rejoice. I'm telling you to rejoice in Jesus. When the devil comes at you and begins to dog your heels and he begins to tell you how pitiful and awful you have been, let me tell you something. You look him square in the eye and say, as Jesus said, you're the father of lies. You're a liar and the father of them. I serve a risen God, one who has ransomed me and lifted me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. He's put in my heart a song of praise, a song of hallelujah, and praises unto our God. How great is our God! How great is our God! Oh my, 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 my. Watch how those things flee. Oh, you can put him to flight. That's what the word of God says. Resist him and he'll flee from you. We resist by talking to our Heavenly Father. We resist by giving him praise and glory and adoration. Oh, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. He lifteth me up. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock. Whew, where rivers of pleasure I see. My, 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 my. You need to go back and read some of those old songs. Just get that hymn book out sometime and begin to read the lyrics, the words that those people penned. I'm talking about people back in the 15 and the 1600s that penned those songs. Those people went through some stuff, but God had given them that song. Fanny J. Crosby wrote some 2,000 songs, was blind, and couldn't see. But when she writes those lyrics, and visions of rapture burst on my sight. Oh, how could she say such a thing when she was blind? Because of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. Stand with me today. Hallelujah. Let's give God some praise this morning. The altars are open. You don't need coaxing. You don't need coaxing from me this morning. The Spirit of God, you know the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. If you don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, I want you to come on down to these altars today. I want you to come on down because I want to introduce you to the one that knows everything about you. You see, I was just like you at one time. I sat in a pew, and when the pastor was preaching and the altar call was given, I had knuckles gripping the back of the pew. They turned white, But you know something? The presence of God was stronger than the presence of the enemy in my soul. I turned that altar loose, and I made my way to the altar, and I knelt. And that was in June of 1969. I have no regrets. None. But you know what people like to say in the devil? Well, you never lived. Oh, no. You don't know my life. 1964 to 1968, I was a U.S. Marine. I'm still one. I know what I did. I know what God brought me out of and what He delivered me from. No, I don't need the world. I turned the world loose. What I have now is far better than what I had then. Far better. You see, now I have a hope. Then I didn't have a hope. I have a hope. And I have eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. Is the world worth you giving that up for? Is the things of this world worth you giving that up for? Would you give up eternal life with Jesus Christ over the damnation of your soul in the pits of hell? He said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is unquenched. That's what the Word says. I'm telling you what the Word says. Our society today says, don't talk about those things in church. You might scare somebody off. Well, I hope I do scare you. Well, you're offending somebody. Well, you know what the Word of God says? The Word of God is an offense to those that are in sin. But it's salvation unto righteousness to those that believe. That's what the Word says. I'm offering you. I'm like Moses now. I believe it was Moses or Joshua. I'm offering you today life or death. I'm offering that to you. It's yours. All you have to do is come down with hearts believing, quickened by the Holy Spirit. And just pray and ask God right into your life. So simple. So simple. Oh, it can't be that simple, but it is. You see, God took the foolish things of this world and confound the wise. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to have a college degree to accept Jesus. All you have to have is a willing heart. And realize that, hey, what he's saying is true. That's me. You see, that's what I said. Man, this preacher, he's talking right to me. Why is he singling me out? It wasn't the preacher singling me out. There was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is knocking at somebody's heart in this building today. And he's saying, come unto me. Come on. I want to give you rest. I want to give you rest from all that that's going on, all that turmoil. I want to give you rest from that. Won't you just come and give your life to me, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you a hope. I'll give you a joy. He didn't say, I'm going to make things perfect for you. He said, but I'm going to help you through life's trials and tests. I'm going to help you through those things if you just turn it over to me. So I'm telling you today, these altars are open. Maybe you're going through some stuff. Maybe you are depressed. Maybe you have got a lot of things on your plate and you just can't seem to work through those things. Hey, the altars are open. The Word of God says to seek Him in these things. But I don't want nobody to... Hey, listen, you're amongst believers here today. You're amongst people that care and love you, that have been where you are. And they want to help you to come out of that. Won't you come? The altar's open. Just come in just a few minutes of prayer. I'm not telling you got to stay half a day. I'm not saying you got to stay an hour, half an hour. You just stay over how long you want to. And you talk to the Lord and tell Him, I like what the song says, tell Him your heart's hidden secrets. You see, He already knows them. But He wants you to come. Won't you come? My brother's going to play something. And I'm through. That's all I can do. I've delivered what the Holy Spirit has given me. If you want to come down, I want to pray with you this morning. I want to lift you up. God's still in the miracle working business. The greatest miracle of all, the Word of God said, is when a soul comes to Jesus Christ. That's what the greatest miracle of all is. Won't you come? Praise God.